Welcome to the 8 Billion Project, where we're on a mission to make an impact by discovering and sharing the purpose of every person on this planet. I'm your host, Lisa Florida. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 8 Billion Podcast. I am your host, Lisa Florida. And today I have got an extra special guest, a dear friend of mine, Mr. George Lorisella. George is a practicing astrologer and intuitive for many years. His purpose is to serve and his desire is to inform and uplift through metaphysical work. So welcome, George, my dear friend, to the 8 Billion Podcast. This was probably what? 5 years in the making, and you never told me that I was going to be podcasting.
Well, I had a feeling you were going to be on film. I just didn't know that I was going to be on it with you. I'm not necessarily gun shy, but sometimes a little camera shy.
You know? No, I don't think you're camera shy by any means.
Well, we'll see, but I appreciate the introduction, and it's good to be here. You know, I wanted you to have a platform and to have a voice because you have something to do. This has always been in your stars, so to speak. And the most important thing that I think about with this is that the message that you give is very clear, and anyone else that adds to that message is part of the whole message. It's part of the whole continuity. It's a freedom. It's a freedom of information, so to speak, similar to what people used to get when they went and sought freedom of information from the government, which now doesn't really exist anymore. So the freedom of information that you promulgate, that you express through your work, through your speech, through your podcast is powerful because you reach people with a non-threatening and yet very illuminating message. And it's necessary because we live in a very troubled world. Right. And without getting unnecessarily polarized, you know, or polemicized or dealing with all the controversies that people have just been up in arms against each other over, I think that you managed to surpass that by putting a platform out there where people can have a discourse and they can look for answers because we need them. And, you know, we're not doing too good right now. We got an eclipse tonight. We got a solar storm.
And that was going to be my first thing that I talked about. Of course, I never can sit down without you. I can never have a conversation without talking about astrology. So we are here on the eve of the full moon lunar eclipse in Sagittarius.
It's a blood moon, full moon, super moon, every kind of a moon in the sign of the Archer. And this is a continuation of the eclipse pattern that began last summer, I want to say like around June of 2020. And so you're looking at that reinstitution of the lockdown, and now they're looking to lift the lockdown. So it's kind of an interesting thing if you look at all the eclipse activity. You know, when you deal with Sagittarius, you deal with seeking truth. And when you deal with Sagittarius, you look for in expanding your goals, not just to physical or empirical, but spiritual. And, you know, one of the things that these eclipses do, if you believe in that sort of a thing, is they close doors and they open doors.
Absolutely.
And this particular eclipse activity is powerful because when you have, if you look at eclipses, they come in cycles, astronomical cycles called Saros cycles. But astrologers take that, I believe, one step further, and they look at the patterns of how often this happens, because they take about 1,300 years to complete an astronomical eclipse pattern.
Oh, wow.
So you always see groups of certain types of what we call in astrology, you know, kind of like eclipse activity or eclipse energy, eclipse influence.
Okay.
For the last few years, throughout most of the previous presidential administration, we had eclipses in the Cancer Capricorn axis. So it was all about home and business, money and family, to put it, you know, briefly. But now we have all the axes for the next few years in Gemini and Sagittarius. Because an eclipse, whether it is a total lunar like tonight or solar, is always followed by its opposite, meaning that tonight's eclipse at 4:14 a.m. on the West Coast, the totality which will move across the Pacific and the areas that it touches, they say, are spotlighted. Oceania, Polynesia, New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia, Philippines, and China, and of course the whole western coast of North America, and so including California. But these eclipses are interesting because when you have a Gemini axis, meaning that tonight's eclipse is in Sagittarius, and so 2 weeks from now, we have a solar eclipse in Gemini.
Correct.
And that's going to be a very interesting one too, because all of these fall during that part of astrology known as Mercury retrograde, meaning that we're in the shadow of it. And all that means astronomically is that Earth will overtake planets at a certain time in the speed of its orbit, or other planets will overtake Earth. So the closest analogy would be you're on one train in the train station, and I'm on a train next door to you on a neighboring track.
Okay.
You start going one way, I start going the other. And as the trains, let's just say someone further down the compartment happens to look over and see someone in the other train. As they speed up, the person in one vantage point looks at the other train, and it almost looks like it's slowing down and stopping. Mm-hmm. It's totally an optical illusion, but it is known as retrogradation in astronomy. But in astrology, it opens up a whole can of worms, because you're looking at whatever energy or influence that that planet is guided by or associated with. And Mercury, you know, is communication. Mercury is all about this, about this podcast, about print information, you know, podcasts, TV, any kind of information, computers, not so much technology, but any type of spoken, written, implied word is all about communication. It's all about Mercury.
So a lot of people are saying that this full moon lunar eclipse is about to bring out a lot of the truth. Does it represent, could you explain that? And then we're also going into Mercury retrograde.
Exactly. And, right there, after. And there's that little bit of double whammy, because the Mercury tends to cloud the truth, mistake the truth, misalign the truth, or make you dig for the truth. And then what did you find? Did you find truth, or did you find a, you know, Cracker Jack's present? Is it real? Mm-hmm. The eclipse, absolutely, you're 100% right. This eclipse is one of the strongest indices of truth in a long time.
Why?
Because Sagittarius is the sign associated with ultimate truth. In other words, I don't know that there's such a thing as absolute truth, but if you know the last few years in corporate media and politics, we've gotten used to truthiness. You know, right. It's kind of like, if somebody says it's true, then it's got to be true. But there's so much that isn't, so much that has been obfuscated, so much that has been spun, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at a politician's record, they swear they didn't do this, and because it just gets lost in the memory hole, or it gets suppressed for whatever reason, because people look out for their own interest. Sagittarius says, You know, like the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. That was a Sag. What do you mean? He's naked, right? Sag is going to put they're knocking him in swords, and they're going to put their foot in your mouth if they have to. It's the way they do it. And it's nothing personal. It's just because Sagittarius doesn't want to lie. And so much of our system, so much of our structure is built on lies.
Yeah.
You know, if only something as simple as all the obfuscation we received about the virus, or about numbers at the border, or numbers with economy and inflation, what's real? You know, I worked in marketing research for a long time, many years ago, and I'm guarantee you, you know, they can fudge market research and statistics. They can. I've seen it. I don't condone it. But, you know, research is only as good as the person doing it and whoever's paying that person for the research.
Right.
So we have a lot of vested interests here, which is the status quo. And Sagittarius says, I don't like that. And so this eclipse is extremely powerful, because it deals with truth. But what's truth, Lisa? My truth, your truth, or the truth?
Right.
And I think Sag goes one step further, and it does seem to cut through the fog and find the truth, whatever the truth is. And that's why we have so many movements for truth, whether it's something as simple as the memory hold 9/11 truth, or truth about the elections, or truth about our economy, or truth about what's really going on with our education systems. You know, our true rulers, many people wonder if our presidents and our prime ministers are even really in charge. And interestingly enough, during this period, in the shadow of the eclipse and an upcoming one, UFO information being released by the Pentagon. I guess after 70 years, they said, well, maybe we ought to say something.
Right.
But why? Like the old Latin term, cui bono, who benefits? Always have to look to see who benefits. And Sagittarius looks to see, is this real, or are you pulling my leg?
Wow. So we have some powerful times coming up. This doesn't have any connection to do with the Great Conjunction that happened in December.
It has everything to do with it. It's an ongoing theme if you want to willingly suspend disbelief. The Great Conjunction or the Grand Conjunction that happened on the last winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere was heralded by many as an incredible game changer. And with all due respect, you know, many people said it was a second star of Bethlehem. Well, as an astrologer, I'd say that can't be, because if there was a star of Bethlehem, as many believe, then it could not have been a Saturn-Jupiter, the two large planets, so to speak, that could have appeared as one star. It could be Venus, which is brighter, Jupiter, which is bright. But Saturn has a tendency to kind of rain on your parade.
Right.
Saturn is not commemorative of the birth of a figurative or literal savior. Saturn says, you didn't pay your taxes. You're getting a bill. Sorry, that's $29.93, and you only gave me $29.91. It's nothing personal. You have a neighbor's dog who barks. You throw a shoe at the neighbor's dog. 2 weeks later, you trip over a shoe. It's kind of cause and effect. Saturn is known as a greater malefic. It doesn't generally bring puppies and apple pie. Now Jupiter, on the other hand, brings ice cream, puppies, picnics,
everything,
roller coasters, horseback riding, surfing, whatever you want. Sag is fun. Let's go. You know, bring a backpack. So the two of them together, because Jupiter expands and Saturn contracts, don't cancel each other out, but they kind of act as a governor, like the old truck governors that wouldn't let you go past a certain mile per hour, like in a rental car truck. So you look at Jupiter and Saturn together and you have this almost uneasy balance. Saturn says, oh no. And Jupiter says, oh yeah. And so they kind of sort of have to do something, compromise. And so how that affects this eclipse season and the rest of 2021, which everybody thought when the last president was voted out of office, that it was like, you know, this was like the second coming of Christ. Well, it hasn't been.
Yeah.
Because A, there's too much wrong with everything that not any one administration could fix in 4 years, let alone 40. But you've also got so many other things, because we're all interrelated. The world's been closed down, which is Saturn. The world wants to open up, which is Jupiter. Then you have the arguable strongest effect throughout 2021, which was the Saturn-Uranus square. And this eclipse activates that Saturn-Uranus square. So
it's very similar to last summer, though.
Yes,
remember?
Yes, exactly.
And then that's when the BLM movement, what was it? 7 out of our 9 planets were in retrograde.
Exactly.
Last summer.
And what's important with that is to recognize, too, that these movements did not arise overnight, but they sure burst out onto the scene, right?
Right.
And it could be because they're getting platformed. And one of the reasons why they're getting airtime or platform or coverage is because they, with all due respect, probably fit the narrative, because there are so many other causes that are important. And of course, Black Lives Matter and Antifa's desire to overthrow fascism, all of these are extremely important causes, in my opinion. I don't think there's any such thing as a lost cause.
Right.
But I really do believe that, I mean, women's rights, the pedophilia scandal, the churches, they're on and on and on and on. You know, the whole Ghislaine Maxwell, where's she been? I guess she's in jail, but we haven't heard much. Her connection to people in positions of power, or as the ascended people and the New Agers and the conspiracy theorists, which is a kind of a silly word, say, is the TPTB, the powers that be. You know,
yes.
Who are they really?
I was just going to say, I have so many friends in the truth movement and I don't know all the terms.
Oh.
I try and watch videos all the time to support them or just to kind of see what the news is circulating, but I cannot keep up. I mean, I came across my own, you know, conspiracy theory time in my life. That was 10 to 12 years ago, around the time of my awakening, you know. And so there was all of that. And then I would try and tell everyone about it. And then all of a sudden, I was looked at like I was crazy. So I kind of, you know, and that's when I understood in my spiritual awakening that everyone has their journey at their own exact time, that I can't sit here till I'm blue in the face to say certain things. And that's the beauty of life, right? But you know, another thing too, George, I was just going to say, you know, you and I have been friends for so many years. You were even telling me in 2019, be ready for 2020. Was that because of the astrological? Do you believe that a lot of that had to do with the astrological aspects that you were seeing? I mean,
yes, I actually, a confession. That's the major part of it. But I went to school at UCI a long time ago, and I had a friend who was an exchange student in South Africa for 2 years rather than one. And her host mother was a psychic and a channeler, supposedly, many years ago. She was a friend of mine. She was from Bakersfield. And her dad was in the oil industry up in there, and she just loved there. And it was before apartheid was dismantled and South Africa became more free and equitable. And yet her host mother was wonderful. And she told her, she said, you know, she said, I just want to let you know, everybody's always afraid. And California thinks there's going to be a big earthquake. And she said, oh, no. She said, your worst times in the United States are going to be between 2018 and 2024. This was in 1976, but I never forgot that. So when I looked at the astrological, you know, the information about what was upcoming, if you remember, I ran away to Santa Fe. I figured I was above 6,000 feet, you know, up in the mountains.
Did you do that because of that situation?
Well, that was one of the reasons I ran to New Mexico. And it's not so much that I was afraid. I just didn't want to be in the middle of everything. Because I had a feeling that all heck, if we can say that all, you know, was going to break loose. Uh-huh. And I didn't want to be here. Because I've lived in California most of my life and I love it, but I've seen the state slowly crumble at the seams from mismanagement and poor government and special interests and overpopulation, which we're not allowed to talk about here. But California is, you know, I call it the Tokyo syndrome. You know, if you have privacy here in California, you're kind of rich, you're kind of lucky because everybody's been there first. And now with this new housing bubble, which is interesting because this also deals with the expansion of Jupiter. But it's going to contract with Saturn. What goes up has to come down. But yeah, I ran away and I got pulled back at an eclipse 2 years ago. Literally. I was like, it was like somebody took that and just reeled me in like I was a marlin in Cabo.
I was so happy when you came back.
I was like, I was somebody fished for me off of Cabo and just like pulled me right back into the boat. It was, and I came home. And I don't regret that at all because this is home. But I know that there are so many things happening that a lot of people are nervous and they're unsettled.
Right.
And we're not getting answers, which is truth, from our rulers, the people that are tasked with our care, if you can say that, their duty of care, which the last few years have really underscored how much they have abrogated or shirked their duty of care.
Yeah.
You know, but this eclipse is also very interesting. And I've got my little malachite here to protect me from negative energy. Someone gave it to me. It's going to protect you from a lightning strike, too. Supposedly it does. I haven't gotten struck by lightning yet.
Because you just
haven't gotten struck yet. But, you know, I know that what's interesting here is that, you know, and we've discussed this because we've talked about astrology. You've been very gracious and open-minded about that because I know your field of study has always been in finance and real estate and also in development and marketing and sales. I mean, you're amazing how you reach out to people and you're just, but that's your Sagittarius. You're a double Sag. You know, with that moon in Aquarius, which is activated so much by what's going on. Because if you again willingly suspend disbelief for this broadcast, it's Saturn is in Aquarius, and so
we are in what you call the age of Aquarius.
It just wants to begin. We're still in a new time of troubles, maybe a new gilded age for some, but we're just wanting to move into the age of Aquarius. You know, and I grew up at the latter part of the 60s. I was tail end of the flower power generation. And, you know, we looked towards that. But it's been, well, kind of pushed aside for money, property, and prestige.
Yeah.
And not that there's anything, you know, Mother Mira, you know, the Indian saint, says there's nothing wrong with things. She said, want everything. Want big cash, big prizes. Just remember that everything is nothing. You know, and she's a Capricorn, you know, so she knows, you know, finances and solidities and structures.
That was the last time of the age of Aquarius. But also through that was born, what, Apple?
Well, yeah. I mean, when we had Saturn in Aquarius last time, we had major revolutionary breakthroughs in technology. And interesting, there are those who believe that a lot of our technological breakthroughs with information technology and AI got a little bit of help. And that's why this whole new supposed UFO, UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena is what they call it. It's a UFO. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's waiting with bated breath because what are they going to say? I mean, if they had a real news conference, so where do you think they're from? Mars, they're not going to say that. I mean, if they do, you have to look at this and say, where have all these technological breakthroughs come from? I'm not saying that they drop from the stars, but, you know, there's been an awful lot of money. I don't know that it's just about luck. You know, it's not like discovering penicillin on bread mold. Right. This is a little different. And we've had major technological. I mean, look, they rolled out a messenger RNA vaccine or inoculation in a year.
Yeah.
This is not something that they just, let's look at. This isn't like Star Trek or some other show where they're dying from a disease and in 45 minutes they find the cure.
Right. Seems like 45 minutes.
I know. They're still looking for a cure for HIV. Fauci was working on that years ago. And looking for a cure for things like Chagas or malaria. But all of a sudden, God bless them, they found these miraculous, if you will, inoculations and vaccinations, whether it's the viral vector Johnson & Johnson, whether it's the messenger RNA, I think it's Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna. Mm-hmm. I think the Russians have a viral vector one-shot jab. I think that's the Sputnik. Nobody would get that here because Russia is not welcome here for whatever reason. But I think what you are very good at is, you know, you bring people together and you bring disparate or different opinions to the table and you allow people to discourse and to discover.
Absolutely.
And you don't have it's not that you don't have any opinion, you have no prejudice.
I don't have a prejudice. I give everyone the open. What I always say is I hold space for you to be able to share your story or to share whatever subject matter that you want. Because I'm sure, you know, everyone loves to hear about this. I've had everything from book authors to speakers to, I mean, it's everything, community leaders. And of course, now my good friend and astrologer.
A crazy conspiracy theorist astrologer. But yeah, I mean, but that's your moon in Aquarius, Lisa. Fair. Impartial. Like a movie star, don't get too close, don't get too far, you know? And that Sagittarius, because you're a double Sag, you know, that double, you're a Sag sun and rising with an Aquarius moon. That's very gifted in the astrological realm because it gives you a double push for truth and a double push for fairness. And you like to stir up the pot from time to time.
From time to time. So I call my good friend George up and get him on a podcast.
It's why people in business structures have been threatened by you oftentimes, not just in a patriarchal society, but they've been a little threatened because you don't toe the line. Yeah. You ask questions. They don't like that. You know, they want you to shut up, you know, and do, you know, like that South Park episode, nothing to see here, folks, what the cop always says, right? But you always see. And, you know, I think part of this is the gift of your upbringing with your mother and your dad who absolutely, in my opinion, gave you the gift of an open mind.
Yeah.
No contempt prior to investigation, which is a wonderful mantra because then you don't rule anything out. If it makes it easier, if it makes life better, don't throw it out, you know, with the bathwater.
Absolutely.
And, you know, astrologically, we're moving into a period now with Jupiter has just gone back into Pisces. And Pisces is good for you. It's actually the traditional historical ruler of Jupiter before, I think, Jupiter was discovered or Neptune was discovered. I mean, the ancients knew about it, but I guess they weren't really looking through telescopes. But Neptune and Jupiter are close. They're considered higher octaves. And so Jupiter's desire for truth, which is Sagittarius, is augmented by Neptune's search for spiritual truth and illumination, which is Pisces. So we have, interestingly enough, this push for truth with so many people. They want truth. Okay. What are they going to do with it? What are you going to do if you find out that so many of the things people have been afraid were true? What are you going to do? I mean, I'm not saying that it's a futile endeavor, but one of the things that all the Sagittarius, the Aquarius, the Piscean energies, if you will, are fomenting at this time is a desire to build rather than to destroy. Mm-hmm. And so the disruptive influence of things like Uranus or Saturn, or at this point, these eclipses, I think, although they will shake and shatter to a degree certain outworn structures or paradigms that no longer work, they have to be replaced with something.
Absolutely. And that's what it is. It's paradigms.
Exactly.
It's absolutely paradigms, because you're absolutely right. Everyone in Truth Movement is like, okay, the truth is going to come out. Yes. But then, like what were you saying, now that you have the truth, what are you expecting?
What are you going to do with it?
Right. Some people are saying it ushers in the Great Awakening.
Well, I think that, you know, as someone who's been on the fringe of the New Age movement for since before they called it that, I've always questioned, and it's not a bad thing. You know, I love the idea that you know, synchronicity and you create what you believe and manifestation, like Shakti Gawain many years ago. It's an ancient Sanskrit or a Vedic idea of creative visualization. They're all wonderful ideas. But, you know, in India, they also say that, make no mistake about it, you know, like life and death are two sides of the same coin, so are good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a lot of vested interests on the planet that would like to keep us stupid,
mm-hmm,
or uninformed or afraid. Like that old Star Trek TV series where I think Melvin Belli, that incredible attorney many, many years ago, played an evil angel on a planet where he rescued these kids and he controlled them through rewarding them because he could make things happen like a magician or manifest things. And when they finally got like on the spaceship, he wanted to go to Earth because he fed really off of fear and anger. And that's what he wanted. So what they did to get rid of him was they took this medicine where everybody was like laughing gas. Nobody could get afraid. Nobody could get scared. And they finally defeated him and they beamed him back out into space, you know? So how do you beam these energy vampires that run our planet back into space? Well, I think you combat them with truth, but you also have to bear in mind that I don't think there's one absolute method of arriving at truth. There's not one, you know, there might be one method of making water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or of creating oxygen. But I don't think there's one real surefire way of getting to the truth, because there's a lot of ways to navigate around it. Absolutely. A lot of sidetracks, a lot of dead ends, a lot of eddies, a lot of kind of garden paths. And I don't know, and I mean no aspersion to the Truth Movement, but I've wondered with what they believe in terms, I think that I'm not sure if that's involved with QAnon or many of the other numerological things they look at, or even the crypto phenomenon, which is part and parcel of looking for new financial instruments and structures in a collapsing capitalist world. They have to do something different.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Wall Street's just not cutting the mustard anymore. The Fed keeps printing money and printing money and printing money, and nobody can figure out why why lumber, you know, not just greed and just supply, but why prices. Look at rents here in California. Look at house prices here in California. Even in this imaginary land, they're imaginary.
Yeah, we just broke 800,000 as a median home price. I only know because posted fun real estate.
Oh, of course. Well, you and I both have real estate licenses. I mean, we know what that's like. I mean, you know, I got it as a hobby, and your family business has been involved in commercial and regular, you know, real estate for a long time. Your family knows all about real estate. And I'll bet they're scratching their head saying,
right,
this is great for us, but what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
With $2.3 trillion of commercial real estate value in the garbage.
Yeah.
Can you want to rent commercial space?
Mm-hmm.
What if people do go back to work?
Yeah, no kidding.
So there's a lot of, you know, things, not to be all over the board, but I think what you promote, which is I really admire in you, is this desire to get information out there.
Yeah.
And without qualifying the information, I believe you get quantity. How would I say that? In other words, I'm not saying you get bad content or bad quantity, but I think that you reach a lot of people. And I believe that what you do needs to reach more people, especially with your moon in Aquarius, which is all about a platform for change.
Mm-hmm.
And, You know, this eclipse is interesting tonight too, because it's because of the precession of the equinoxes, where the constellations and the stars kind of moved a little bit in relation to Earth. We have Mercury going retrograde. We have a major full moon total lunar eclipse in Sagittarius. But if you look at the stars, its placement is in between the claws of the scorpion. I don't know about you. I've got no personal problems with scorpions. They get rid of vermin, but I don't know that I want to be in between their claws, you know, even though, because then they hold you and they sting you. Well, that the figurative meaning is.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Getting stung, getting trapped. But at the same time, Scorpio, which is, you know, scorpion, is like, you want truth? It might hurt.
Oof.
Right?
Yeah.
And Pisces is thrown into the mix and says, no, let's cover that with a nice little bit of fog. And Sag says, heck no.
We're letting it all
out. Get out of my way. Keep on trucking. You know, and
Let's cover it with a little bit of fog.
Right? So totally. Exactly. Totally. And so you Pisces. you have this eclipse with the potential for revelation on a grand scale. And yet you have a lot of other things saying, not so fast. Or, yeah, you want to believe that? Here, you want to buy a bridge in Brooklyn too? Go ahead, I'll sell you too. So you have a lot of potential for deception.
Yes.
And illusion or self-denial, self-delusion, in this push to want to find some answers when so much information is withheld.
Right.
And therein lies, I think, the absolute most important thing about Sagittarius in a figurative astrological way. It's the constellation of the archer, the centaur, the guardian angel to those who believe in angels. And this is something, you know, in German, I think Sag is der Schütze, and the guardian angel is der Schutzengel.
Yeah.
So you're looking at, we all kind of sort of, we want somebody to protect us because our own systems can no longer protect us. If you defund the police, you're going to get a social worker for somebody breaking into your house. You know, if you walk through LA or Portland or New York right now, it's more dangerous than it's ever been. For whatever reason, you can blame systemic racism. You can blame the collapsing economy, the homeless, many of whom are mentally ill or unfortunately substance, addicted. And whatever it is, you know, it's not easy. This poor woman whose child was shot on the freeway in Orange County, I guess she pissed somebody off in the carpool lane right over. I mean, and he shot and killed her poor kid.
Right.
So there's a lot of madness. And we want protection. And believe it or not, you know, archetypally, Sagittarius is protection.
Yeah.
Wherever it is in a chart or in the stars and in tonight, whatever happens, we have an element of that little pat on the back that says, it's okay, it's going to be okay, we'll get through this. Not to mention, we have an extreme earthquake window tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday, of course. I mean, any day is a good day for an earthquake on the West Coast, but everybody's been having them but us. They got them in Texas, they got them in Oklahoma, they got them in Arizona, they got them in the Arctic, they got them everywhere.
I was just going to say, I was just talking to someone just last week, and then she was talking about all of that, the activity that's going on the East Coast, and there's a name for it.
Interplate movement, or the craton?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it was supposedly on a larger scale, if it goes the other way, it could literally flood most of the world, you know what I mean? And then you're also experiencing the flooding that's going on in China.
Well, and we also have bizarre weather. And I don't know if you've heard of the coronal mass ejections. I believe we are in a sunspot cycle. I want to say it's 25. Because, you know, they name them just like they categorize eclipses or certain types of solar or other type of meteorological or cosmological phenomena, is that we have entered a solar cycle where the sun is waking up. Instead of not many sunspots, there's been more. And then there's always the potential for solar flares. As also cosmic rays have increased, we just seem to be moving into a part of the galaxy where there's more cosmic rays. And cosmic rays have been linked to increased cloudiness or lightning strikes or weather anomalies. Now, of course, anthropogenic man-made global warming, I do believe exists. But I think there's a lot of other things going on with it, because you also look at other planets like Jupiter and Mars have been waking up.
Yeah.
And warming up.
Yeah.
I don't think they've got an In-N-Out burger on Mars. I don't know if they're pumping CO2 into Mars atmosphere yet, but you know, I'm sure Elon Musk will look to have an In-N-Out burger on Mars, but this is a plug for In-N-Out burger, right?
But, or Elon Musk.
Right, or Elon Musk. Thank you. Yeah. But I am, and he moved to Texas, and Jeff Bezos is hollowing out a mountain in Texas where there's been an enormous amount of earthquake activity. And, I've tried, I cannot find a word about it on any sites that I look at, even that deal with seismic, instability or aberration, nothing. If you look at West Texas, a little northeast of El Paso and south of Carlsbad Caverns in Roswell, New Mexico, hope they're fracking because there are so many earthquakes. I'd almost think there was a volcano forming. I think that's movement from hollowing out the mountain in the spaceport that Bezos is building there, because he owns all that land and there's no people there. South of Carlsbad Caverns in like the far west corner of Texas between El Paso and Midland Odessa, which is the oil fields. And but there's been a lot of anomalous, unusual earthquake activity in West Africa, in Gabon, in places like the Arctic and north of Quebec, in places like, Oklahoma. And interestingly, also, they have had a couple of serious volcanic eruptions, like the one in the Congo 2 days ago, near Agongo, which is a huge stratovolcano in eastern Congo, just like they had to evacuate a city of 2 million people. That wasn't easy.
Right.
And now they're having earthquakes in Gisenyi on the border of Rwanda, where they had the genocide many years ago. There's always been so many problems in that area. In one of the largest and most beautiful lakes in Africa, Lake Kivu, which is also in danger of turning over and releasing carbon dioxide.
How do you know so much, George? Did you come here from a different planet with all this information? I'm all like, I can barely. But I always, whenever I talk to you, an audience, I just want to let you know this. Like, George and I are such good friends. But whenever I go see George and I listen, like a little girl, like of all the astrology stories and the cosmos and all that kind of stuff, all of that stuff.
All my useless information that I appreciate you listening
to. It's never useless information. You wouldn't be sitting here today if it was useless.
Thank you.
Going back to what we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like if this, aspect will bring out the truth and all the truth seekers and conspiracy theories are like, yes. When you say, like, hypothetically speaking, if it does get released, then what, right?
Well.
Because, and it's most in the deepest level of everything. I always found that in my journey, and of course this isn't, everyone has their own spiritual journey or, journey, so to speak, whether it's spiritual or not. A lot of it can be found, the shift truly and the awakening truly happens in my eyes from within. That's the true paradigm shift, because that's where you actually find the freedom. And that, my friend, is what a Sagittarius would say.
Well, that's the philosophical nature of Sagittarius and what astrologers would say is your gift of discernment, mm-hmm. and at times your gift of prophecy. And Sag is nothing if not pragmatically truthful,
right.
and no nonsense honest. And yes, I do believe that truth is coming out. I think it's kind of like water out of a dam or a leaking container. I don't think it can completely be contained. In Tibet they say, there's a bright light within a vase. Mm-hmm. You shatter the vase and the light shines unobstructed. I think the vase is being shattered. And I think that even if, they say it only takes a certain point, I think it was the controversial psychiatrist Dr. Hawkins used to say that, mm-hmm. 83 to 85% of the world's population was asleep or, surviving, and that only, 15 to 17% was moving and growing. But even if only 15 to 17% of the world's population, you're looking at well over 800 million people, believe that there is some truth, believe that we've been lied to, we've been manipulated, it could reach a tipping point because our systems only survive because we support them. Mm-hmm. And if you stop supporting a system that doesn't honor life or doesn't support life, that controls and represses rather than nurtures, not to be, you know, oh, gee, wonderful, you know, because life isn't that, life is not easy for a lot of people. You know, we sit here in one of the most beautiful parts of the world where, mm-hmm. where nobody really understands need, sure. only want, only desire, to a place where you got to walk 2 miles with a jug on your head to get water.
Absolutely. You know?
And you having spent time in the third world, you know, and you know, as beautiful as it is, and you spent time in the Philippines, mm-hmm. and it's absolutely gorgeous. The people are wonderful, but they make do with a lot less than we do.
Absolutely.
And they don't seem as miserable.
Right.
You know?
It's true.
And I've lived in South America and almost moved to India and South Africa. And let me tell you something, it used to break my heart to see how little those people are. But you can't. You can't save everybody, but you can educate everybody. You know, if you educate everybody like you do, and you educate people, you teach them to think for themselves, then they can fend for themselves.
Right.
And they can also make decisions for themselves and say, does this have validity? Does it not? And one of the things about the truth movement that I respect is it does force that question into the open. Now,
yes.
they can debunk it all they want, and they will, because anything that's not an official narrative at this point is shadow ban deplatform. And you're off of, you know, Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and
Absolutely.
Google so fast, your head will spin, you know. I mean, if you look at it, you know, regardless of what anybody's opinion would have been on the former president, to deplatform a sitting president, I think even the president of Mexico was like, what are you doing, you know? It's like, if you do that, it's like, who's safe? Anyone you don't like is erased.
Absolutely.
And this is something that people were like, oh gosh, look at the power of big tech. And they had nothing to do with big tech. Big tech got a phone call from whoever really runs the show and said, pull the plug.
Wow.
Because you really think they all just got together and said, we just don't like this president and we don't want to hear him anymore. They could turn the channel off.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
They could block him. What they did is they erased him. And when you erase anything, however distasteful it is, even in this thin-skinned world in which we live, where nobody wants to hear anything they don't want to like, try to tell somebody something they don't want to hear. They get mad at you.
Yeah.
They don't say, gee, Lisa, thanks for telling me. I didn't know that you could boil water this way. Right? Yeah. They don't want to hear it because people stop listening. But for some reason, they respond to a certain vibration. In my opinion, if you want to talk about information and freedom and things like that, that's a very lower realm vibration.
Yeah.
Why look for the worst? Why always go to the worst? I mean, and if the former president is the worst, does that mean that anyone who replaces him is the best?
Right.
Well, I mean, do we really know that? I mean, I think you have to give everybody a little time. I've not been political for men, I mean, probably since I was 18. But I look at them.
Yeah.
And I wonder how they get where they are because, you know, they're really not known to be the most honest people on the planet. You know what I mean? They're kind of truthy, if you know what I mean. I think they're better actors than they are, like, you know, politicians. That's why I wasn't shocked.
I think some people have told me they're actors.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. I really wasn't shocked, you know, to see when Schwarzenegger.
I was like, they are. How are they
exactly.
that? I was like, I need to get you on my podcast.
Listen,
so you could tell
me. My poor Italian grandmother never believed that wrestling was fake.
Right.
She just didn't want to believe it. You know, and listen, and that's it. We don't believe what is too much for us to get around. People just want to be happy. They want to survive. They want to feed their kids. They want to buy a house. They want to travel. They want to go to Hawaii. You know, they want to have a nice boyfriend or girlfriend. They want to have a partner. They want to have healthy kids, a car that works. And the vast majority of people have been saddled with way too much to do much more by their own design or by society, which to a great degree has kept us as wage and debt slaves.
Right.
I mean, everybody who's not paying off a credit card or a mortgage.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and if you're educating children in this world, gosh, what they're teaching them, who knows, you know, and beyond that, are your kids safe at school? And if you're sending them to anything, whether it's taxes or private school, how much you paying to get an education? Buy a couple of houses with that, even in California.
Yeah.
So many people are too tied up to stop and smell the roses. And then you have this horrific pandemic, which, listen, I've lost family members to this. I don't question it. I'm not a Holocaust denier of coronavirus. But if it really was as horrible as they say it was, then we'd all be singing Ring Around the Rosie like they did during the Black Death in the Middle Ages when there were too many people to bury.
Right.
So what's special interest, public interest, corporate interest? How about what's in the greater interest?
Right.
And that's Aquarius. And that's this eclipse. Because this eclipse activates a Saturn north node of the moon. I can tell you what it means, but it's powerful because it's past lifetime. And interestingly, a Venus, kind of a trine, a triangle inside this particular eclipse, which fights for truth. You know, so, you know, one of the things that you do that's always fascinated me is how you network with people. Because you're such a good networker. You really are. I mean, you know, it's like
having conversations with
people. But you're an exceptional. You build bridges. And, you know, and you are such a good communicator. And you're like the best talk show host because you're very neutral, but you're warm. Aquarius moon, Sagittarius sun. But
I was like, you wanted to choose that. And then we called my friend George.
But I love to see you talk because, or to hear you talk because you're a good mirror and a good vessel for communication. And that's what's critical in this new age of disinformation.
Yeah.
You know, try to get the truth out of Cox or Comcast or Spectrum. Shoot me. Sorry. You know, it's like, I think you're going to see with the truth movement in particular. I think they're going to get some help.
You think so?
I do. I think
that was going to be my next question. What do you think the future is going to hold? You know, coming from an intuitive.
Well,
and remember, I always tell people, you know, if whether you believe in the new age and astrology and all this kind of stuff, there's so many different ways that life can go. Mm-hmm. So many, right?
Or twists and turns.
Twists and turns. That is the journey in and of itself. Because people never enjoy that part. They're always seeking the destination.
They're standing in the result rather than enjoying the journey towards that destination, like you said. Well, you know, if we are willingly suspending our disbelief still, you know, the Pleiadians, the supposed intelligent beings that are humanoid from the Pleiades, I wonder if this report in June will mention them, that have been around for whatever, if they're to be believed as being true space brothers and sisters, they say that this is a free will universe and everything is permitted. And they said that's why you have oppression and repression and suppression and all these things, because it's free will.
Yeah.
But they also say, do you really think that such a beautiful piece of real estate like Earth has gone unvisited all these years? And I think that's kind of funny the way they supposedly talk. They said that there's dark t-shirts too that are beings that are not related to you and may try to say they are, like the supposed Greys, the Reticulans from the Betty and Barney Hill incident of the 60s, and supposed part of the abduction phenomena that the famous late psychiatrist Dr. John Mack happened accidentally across with the Harare, the Zimbabwe, the Rufo school visit, I think like 30 years ago, where like 60 school kids almost got abducted. Jeez. And the Kumburgaz incident in Turkey, where a night watchman filmed this thing that nobody could debunk, except they threw it out on American TV. But the Turkish government saw this thing that absolutely, they didn't know what it was. They tried everything. Now, mind you, they can fake anything. But the Turkish government, which I think is pretty well established, said we couldn't really find any evidence of chicanery or fakery in this. We don't know what it is, but it doesn't look faked.
Wow.
And not only was it a supposed craft, but also the beings inside the craft. So what's going to happen? I think they're going to announce contact. I don't know what it's going to be. What's going to happen? We're going to have some more solar storms, and we may have grid problems. We're going to have definitely internet or electrical grid problems. Maybe not all at once, but yesterday, you know, the first coronal mass ejection, which was a minor one, it was a solar flare, hit Australia, which tends to be a little more conductive for magnetic events and geomagnetic events. And whether it's happened or not, it's an interesting coincidence. The largest power plant in Queensland exploded and caught fire, maybe from a surge, and knocked out power to over 500,000 Australians. And as of today, I think only half have their power back. One of the largest power outages ever. Major damage to the power station. And that's something that a coronal mass ejection can cause. It fried telegraph wires in the 1850s during the Carrington event. And we are moving towards more, not just social and political and economic instability, but seismic and geologic, solar instability. So what does it mean for us? More weather anomalies, more seismic and volcanic events like the eruption at Nyiragongo and Mammoth Mountain, Yellowstone could happen. But I think the next 4 years are critical in terms of the United States, because what we're hearing now is, you know, this push to forever banish the Republicans and forever enshrine the Democrats. And I don't know that you can do that. I don't think any one party really, either one of them really has really been, you know, I think you could probably find fault in both of them.
Let me ask you, though, with you saying that, going back to all that seismic activity, do you truly believe that, from a spiritual level, that if we raise the vibration of humanity, that we could stop a lot of that stuff from happening? Do you think that gets that fine? We're like, this is a close chapter, guys. We've got to save humanity.
I do not share this with most people, but I do believe it's possible, because, again, that person who told me many, many years ago that was in South Africa about the events of the early 21st century, they used to get together every week and pray for peace on the world and to stabilize unstable regions, including California.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Tibetans pray for the peace of the world. And there's prayers for earthquakes and fear of earthquakes. I mean, they have a whole litany of Tibetan Mahayana Buddhist prayers. I mean, then, like, I think, like, how many forms of fear you can pray for protection against, you know, fear of lightning, you know, everything up to probably including fear of getting struck by a meteor. I mean, there's a lot of different things, not to cast aspersions against Tibetan Buddhism. What I'm saying is that I do believe that that particular thing you're talking about is the missing element. The Pleiadians have supposedly said that one of the reasons why Earth is having trouble advancing is that all push has been towards technology, not towards spirit. And when you have a spiritual, you know, like that old book that used to say, you're not a human being having a spiritual experience, you're a spiritual being having a human experience, that one of the things that has divided us and just polarized us, whether it's racial or ethnic and, you know, just everybody hating everybody, is that we have to accept we're all the same. We may not all be the same socioeconomically, but biologically, genetically, we're human. Right. I mean, I'm not aware that, you know, I've had my questions about some of us that are on TV, and, you know, whatever. But I think by and large, the average, you know, Joe and Josephine in the street is human. You know, there might be an alien hybrid, some of them, but, you know, they're human. So we breathe air, we eat food, you know, we eliminate, and we like to think that we think, you know. And then we grow. I do believe that there's that those people that used, there was a little campaign about 25 years ago to pray the gray away for people that had been abducted by supposed reticulant gray aliens, you know, and they had stickers, just pray them away. Supposedly they didn't like the Lord's Prayer.
Wow.
I don't know. To my knowledge, I don't remember. So it could be a memory loss, you know, it could be missing time. I don't recall being abducted by them. I sure hope I wasn't. But yeah, I do believe the power of affirmation and creative visualization and manifestation is extremely powerful.
Right.
And one of the things that Sagittarius rules is manifestation.
Bing.
You know, so one of the things you're creating with your podcast is a spiritual platform, in my opinion, for physical growth.
Right.
A transcendent paradigm, if you will. Evanescent, it's, but it illuminates. And even if it kind of like a bulb goes out when the podcast goes off, it still stays with you. Like sometimes when there's a flash and you close your eyes and you still see that. I think what I've noticed in your work is that after, you know, it may end, it's still there. It's food for thought. And it's spiritual comfort, mana.
Yeah.
Because what you've done since I've seen you grow, and I've seen you just grow leaps and bounds right. in so many ways and good ways. But, you know, the touchstone, of course, of growth is pain. You've had your mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you know, the loss of our mother is not something I believe we recover from. It's just there. But your mother was an enormous touchstone of your growth, and she had a special place for you because of this. I think she knew my feeling as a spiritual worker, as an intuitive, some might say psychic, was that your mother had plans for you. And with all due respect, it didn't involve real estate. You know, maybe maybe tangentially, and I'm not saying that to be disrespectful.
You kept telling me, just let it all unfold, or little did I know.
Charlie. And like a good Sagittarius, she paid no attention to me until you felt like paying attention. Same as I'm an Aries, same thing. We want what we want yesterday.
Right? But gosh, you know, George, you always know that I can go on and speak to you forever. Mm-hmm. And I probably will speak to you after this. But you know, in closing, if there was anything that you could leave, like whether, you know, it's for the masses, whether this becomes something like a time capsule, what would you actually say to 8 billion people if you ever had a few minutes and and undivided attention?
I would say that there is hope and that there is a future. And like the ancient saying of birth, growth, decay, death, and rebirth, we may be dying in many ways, but that is in preparation for rebirth. So never give up. Always question. Always look for answers. And never, ever, ever, ever close your mind.
Amazing. I know, you know, I just came across something with Stephen Hawking. That's what he said. As long as there's life, there is hope. I mean, that was the tail end of it. But yeah, it was an amazing video that I came across. I probably will share it with my platform. But George, if there is anyone in the audience that is looking to get a hold of you, how would they be able to get a hold of you?
Do I say my email?
You could say whatever you'd like.
They can reach me at my email, which is all lowercase, HawaiiGeorge, HAWAII. GEORGE at gmail.com. HawaiiGeorge at gmail. Okay. I got my years ago when I lived in Hawaii and got my email.
And any other platforms? Any social media that you'd like to share?
I'm on Facebook with my astrology column with itstartswiththestars.wordpress.com. And I'm on Instagram, HawaiiGeorge19. And I usually do an astrology, you know, a quick 40 seconds every day.
Oh, I love those.
and I thank you so much for it's just an honor to be here with you. I'm so happy for you.
Thank
I love you.
You,
Lisa.
I love you too, George. Thank you. My heart is full. And for everyone that tuned in, if you like this show, thank you so much. Feel free to get a hold of George with his contact information that's there. And I look forward to having you guys watch the next episode of the 8 Billion Podcast. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If it's moved you in any way, please review and share your thoughts or text me your thoughts at 949-247-2800.